Good morning, everyone. Well, this is the Saturday after the election, and I'm pretty sure many of you have been watching the news. The election is over, and there are a number of things I'm going to have to talk about pertaining to it. For those of you that don't know who I am and have not been watching me on television and have never heard me over the radio, my name is Dr. Cheryl Lorraine Dockery. I am a non-denominational minister of our Lord Jesus Christ. My assignment is to teach God's laws, those laws that are of sound doctrine today. I'm just going to ask you to go to Proverbs 28:9 and read it later on. Proverbs 28:9, because I will be getting back to that over the next week or so. But anyway, we have experienced in this country a president that outright stole the election in front of our faces in the past. And now we have seen a president that bought the election. Only in America would such things like that happen. But since then, we've had protests all over the country because people are angry. The Bible says you could be angry, but you have to be angry without sin. The individuals that we saw protesting over the weekend, or now they're still protesting, there were some laws being broken, man-made laws, which they probably weren't concerned about. But God's laws were also broken. See, God's laws don't cause you to break man-made laws, but man-made laws can cause you to break God's laws. And many of us don't know what they are. It goes beyond the Ten Commandments, but it should be obvious to most people in this country when you have at least broken one of the Ten Commandments, whether you know any of the laws that are beneath them, such as the precepts that are beneath them associated with that commandment. Pretty much the majority of this country have been given those Ten Commandments. And if you chose not to have a Bible, that's on you. Now, your number one premise is your values and your beliefs. Trump's number one premise was his values and his beliefs. And that is what caused a lot of problems. You know, we had thousands of people all over this country angry about the results. Again, the Bible says, be angry without sin. Well, the 10th commandment is obvious that it had been broken. It's coveting. And whenever you go around breaking people's windows and going into their properties and messing with their properties, you're coveting. In addition, the 8th commandment was broken, which is thou shalt not steal. Some people went in there and started looting stuff. Well, the 9th commandment was also broken because of the words that were spoken by many people. The ones that I'm more concerned about are the people that were out there protesting, and they didn't even vote. We have a lot of that going on. It appears that only half of the people that were registered voted. And it wouldn't shock me if a large population of those people were African American. We have been conditioned to believe that our vote don't count. And not voting at all definitely voted for Trump. And then, of course, if you didn't vote for Hillary, you voted for Trump in most cases. Now, protesting and marching, that's okay. But those things are not going to work anymore. That worked in the 60s. What's happening now is people are trying to sabotage marches that are made to be nonviolent. We have people that are even coming from not even Oakland. They have nothing to lose because they can go back home, destroy Oakland. Oakland has been a dumping ground for a lot of things. I'll get into that in other shows. But anyway, protesting alone is not going to work. It takes a quantitative leap to bring about a qualitative transformation. We have the quantity, but there was no leap. Okay? Doing the same thing since the 60s. That won't work. Pretty much most of the police in this country got taxpayers and spend millions of dollars on riot gear. So Oakland is prepared. I've mentioned that before. They got some riot gear that they haven't even brought out brand new, that they're waiting to use it. You can get crazy if you want to here, but it makes no sense. You're destroying your own community. I can't understand where the brain of some people are that are actually breaking these people's windows and things like that. That's coveting. And protesting will not resolve the problem we have. Now, if you're so upset about Donald Trump being president, then you go through the process that's already been established on getting rid of him. Read your Constitution. Now, they have 28 days, I believe they said, to go on and do this final count and come up with the count that they say. Now, if we don't like that, we could ask for a recount. Donald Trump was going to ask for a recount. He said that because he was saying that he thinks this was going to be rigged or something. He would have asked for a recount. Now, if you don't want to go through the process and continue with marches, nothing is going to change. Now, we have the quantity of people. They're coming out. I'm not sure if all of them were registered to vote and voted. But for the recount, and definitely for a recall, because we're able to do that too as citizens of this here United States. But you have to have the quantity. Recalling someone in the manner that we're doing now would be considered a leap if we actually went through the process of doing these things, recalling, recounting, or whatever. If we go through the process, that would be considered a quantitative leap. We have the quantity, but we're messing up. It won't help a thing. The police already, okay, tear gas and all, they've been doing all over this country. There are people angry all over this country. Hillary got the popular vote, but but she did not get the Electoral College. And that may be something that we need to discuss on how to change the way they do things, which will be a constitutional amendment. It will require a constitutional amendment, a United States. That would be a hard process for certain. But what happens is we have a lot of people that don't want to go through the legal process of it to get what they want. And we have enough people to do that. And with social media, it would be easy for us to get enough people in all the states in the union to get prepared to recall it. You have to do it right now. Or be prepared to make sure he doesn't get another term. But you have to be prepared. You have to do your research and things like that. It appears that only half of the people even went out and voted, that were able to vote. Now, that's what they're saying now. They haven't finished counting the absentee ballots, I'm certain, because there was a whole bunch of those. But it doesn't matter. They already know that Hillary got the popular vote. That means most of the people in the country, individually and collectively, wanted Hillary. Now, one of the things that I notice is that our children are very angry as well. And our children were non-violent. It's these grown-ups running around here loose as crazy in hell. The children were non-violent. And that just brings to mind that maybe we should start giving some of our children that are in high school and especially college, and they're not 18 years old yet to, legal to vote, maybe we should consider lowering it and have some type of schooling or clock courses that they've had to take in order to participate. But those children, they're our future. They're our future leaders in this country. And maybe we should now give them a little more responsibility at younger ages. As a matter of fact, I always considered this country as keeping kids too long. Other countries all around this world, by the time those kids between 13, 14 years old, they are acting in that community as adults. They have more than one skill. They start their children off early. For some reason, we don't do that in this country. I think it should start with the household. Get your children more involved in household responsibilities, not just cleaning up their room, brushing their teeth and things like that, or help cleaning up the house. They need to learn now how that household is managed monetarily. Even if you're on welfare, you should have a budget. And that budget should, at the time your children begin to understand numbers, that budget should be related to them so they can see it. If they're able to do basic math and they've gotten into basic math, that's for certain when you're supposed to include your children more into household affairs. I've seen it done. And this lady is no longer with us. But anyway, she was a single parent. And she had to teach her children certain things, including cooking at a young age, going shopping with money at a young age, and because she had two daughters, The older one had to take care of the younger daughter, go to the grocery shopping, cooking, and everything, while the mother was working two jobs. She taught her children that. The girl that she taught at that young age became academically in school superior over other children. As a matter of fact, the first time I've ever seen a blank report card with a letter attached to it from the school telling the mother she can put any grade she want in there. The child was just in second, third grade. She was already reading fifth and sixth grade, doing fifth and sixth grade math. So you know by the time she got to high school, she was knew more than most of the children there, because most of us don't include our children into things like that. We should, because if anything should happen to you, you want your children to know how to survive themselves. Because right now, the foster care system is a jacked up system. Something happens to you and you don't have things prepared, your children gonna end up in that system. So yes, we need to include our children at a younger age into what we're doing, and maybe we should lower the age to vote. Now, I think there was somewhere that had on the ballot like 14 years old. Maybe we need to look into that. Maybe we have to say they have to take political science and economics and certain classes in high school if they want to register and vote before they're 18 years old. I don't know, but for certain, it's time to include our children more than we have. They have just told you. Our children shouldn't have had to do that. But that's history. It looks like pretty much in all countries, when there's a major problem, the children do come forth, even during civil rights time. There were children groups that they formed themselves. So maybe it is time to lower the age of voting. I don't know if we should lower the age of when you're eligible to be president. Has anyone seen the movie Wild in the Streets? This came on back in the 60s, and they lowered the age to 25 years old for you to be president. And he was voted in. This fool was voted in. And the first thing he did was have some laws passed saying that people that were 35 year old and over must be placed in concentration camps. He even placed his mama in one. So we don't want any craziness like that. That came out in the 60s, so you know how crazy we were. We were wild in the streets in the 60s, so this probably gave the person the idea to come up with that movie. But anyway, I don't think we should lower the age of presidency, at least not at this time, but I think maybe it's time to include our children into more things than we have, because like I said, only half of the people look like came out and actually voted. Now, President Obama, I guess he did the best he could in changing of command. There don't seem to be any problem. But Trump has already said that he was going to make some major changes. So don't be shocked if Trump don't go and blow up something, okay? I can't say anything because that may be the deterrence that we need. We can't have people thinking they can come over here and drive planes through buildings, sending anthrax and doing all kinds of things when they get over here. We can't have people thinking they can do that. So maybe that's what it's going to require, blow somebody off the map. Now, he's also talking about sending people back to their own countries. Now, if they have already become United States citizens, you have to leave them alone. They went through the process, unless you can find out that they are terrorists. We probably do have some terrorists here that have gone all the way through the process, and they're terrorists. Now, I consider the people that are not paying taxes, even in the grocery stores, and they're not from this country, I consider them terrorists at all. Also because they're killing us within. But, yeah, Trump might blow something up. It wouldn't shock me. And might start sending people back home. He might build that wall. None of that's going to shock me. But because he said he was going to do that. Now, let's see if he's going to do what he said he's going to do pertaining to jobs. See, that's a number of reasons why people actually vote for him, for some of the things that he said. Jobs is one of them. He's going to make a better healthcare system. I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. But he's promised some things that we're going to have to make sure that he does. I say let's give him a chance. And at the same time, in the background, we're preparing a recall or something, or making sure he won't have a second term. Give him a chance. See what he is going to do. He should be able to get something done within the first term, 4 years, that makes us think that he's going to be okay. Now, one of the things that has happened in the past is that Republicans are the ones to first cut social programs. And I can see Trump cutting everybody off right away, don't get nothing, money, food, stamp, housing, nothing, unless you are working or some type of on-the-job training and that employer plans on hiring you. Those laws are already in place from the federal government. All he has to do is implement them strongly. That means thousands of people will be cut off. We will have thousands of more homeless people. But he has something planned for that too. You break the law, you go into jail. And they're going to work you. You're going to pay restitution, you're going to pay, and I'm not going to say nothing about that either, because the taxpayers are paying for people to be incarcerated, and they were wrong. They were actually really guilty. So they're setting it up to where you're going to pay restitution, and you're going to pay your room, board, food, and have a little bit on the books for you to buy your little toiletries and things, whatever you need. And that's it. You paying your own way to live in jail. I can understand that. Especially the restitution part. A lot of people have been hurt financially by someone doing something to them that caused them to go to jail. Okay, fine. They went to jail. But if you had a monetary loss, you had better have some insurance, because you just at a loss. And I know how that works. I'll talk about that later on, dealing with housing and property and how you can lose and get destroyed. I've seen it with my own eyes. Now, we messed around here and let that soda tax, as they call it here in Oakland, pass. Now, I'm still collecting receipts, and I suggest you do so, because those receipts are getting ready to change. And you're going to see exactly what products that you're going to be paying taxes on. And you'll see that it has changed. And because there's a salt issue in the community, it means now the doctors are saying kids have too much salt. Well, that's going to be hit too, and that's groceries, potato chips and stuff. That's groceries. They're going to slide that in so smooth, ain't nobody going to even notice it. Unless you are observing your receipts now and see what you're paying for it. And then later on, after these grocery taxes or soda taxes kick in. Now, I don't know if that kicks in right away like a lot of stuff. That may do. Or it may start at the beginning of the year. It doesn't matter. If you don't know what you're going to be taxed on, you ain't going to know in January if you're not doing your research now. What I strongly suggest that we do as people in Oakland, I suggest that the churches unite and start some type of co-op of where we can purchase in bulk, or do similar to what the Latter-day Saints are doing. I got to personally go and see this with my own eyes. The Bishop's Storehouse is what they call, and I think that's in Concord. I think we went to Concord. Anyway, I was with one of my Latter-day Saint friends, and she had gotten food approved for a family who weren't Latter-day Saints, so they could survive. I saw a real estate agent also try to help them. The Latter-day Saint was Betty Stevenson. She had been a Latter-day Saint, or even Mormon, over 20 years. And the real estate person is our Denise Smith right here in Oakland, who did her best to help this couple out. Now, they both were receiving SSI, so that means that they needed some other help than food and shelter. But that was for someone else to do. She's in real estate. Betty was a part of the Latter-day Saints and got her approved for two giant grocery carts full of food. Had to be a good $500. One cart was full of meat, and the other cart was full of all kinds of things, household items and other foods. You know, I'd never seen anything like it before. But see, the Bishop's Storehouse was set up for the people in the congregation to be able to buy food at bulk at a very low price, if that's what they wanted to do, buy in bulk. Or you can buy smaller amounts, and it was still cheaper than going to the store. That's what they had set up for their congregation. And in this case, they were giving it out. They were showing love. The Latter-day Saints were showing love to someone that wasn't even a member. These ministers out here better put something together. Find a storehouse somewhere, what have you. Now, this storehouse they had was in the, I think we were in Concord, the Concord Hills somewhere, in a nice area. And people worked there for free for 2 years. They have to set themselves. If you're going to be a Latter-day Saint, you got to work. Even the bishop got a job outside of the church. They believe you need to be working. Okay? If not for the church, for both a job and whatever you can do for the church. So people commit themselves for 2 years working in the warehouse where people are coming there on a regular basis to get food. You churches better start thinking here. You know, I asked you to assess your churches over 15 years ago because I knew I had a caseload full of people that was going to somebody's church here in Oakland. So I would send them back to their church for help. They need additional help than what social service was providing. That's where your ministers come in. And I've had ministers that were afraid to even bring up in the congregation to just tell the people, those that are receiving public assistance, that there are some handouts out there on their table, because I put them there, pertaining to those that didn't have jobs and were on welfare and would like to have a job or get some training. And I started leaving them on the tables because a lot of ministers didn't want to talk to those girls about welfare. That's what your wife is for. You know. And so you can get it together. Get them off welfare, because right now we have a problem. We have Republicans that have control of everything right now. More Republicans. And as I said, they're usually the first ones to cut off social programs. So what we need to do is give him a chance. There's some rumors that some people said they were, if he won, they were going to leave the country. Now, that's dumb. That they're going to go to Canada. I think that was a... That makes no sense. You're going to be a runner all your life when you run away from something and you don't want to really fight it the way you should. There is a process that we would have to go through to get rid of Trump, people. So we need to be thinking about that. And still getting people registered to vote. Don't stop. Because if we do decide to do a recall, only registered voters are going to be, you know, accepted on that. You have to be registered. And what we need to be doing is getting as many people as possible registered still, because we may have to use that number, that quantity. Okay? In order to do that leap. You know, quantitatively, to bring about a qualitative transformation. We're saying that Trump is not the quality president we want, that it's going to take quantity to get him out of office. And it has to be a leap. We have to do something that's within the system and hit it hard. That's how you fight here. And rioting and all that, that does nothing but hurt the community. Well, we've had a number of propositions that passed that we wanted to. I have a problem, a little problem with the death penalty ones. Well, there's a contradiction there, and hopefully that gets resolved and prevent African American males to be targeted, because that's what we have right now. African Americans are being targeted. But anyway, the ones that passed, it's okay. I mean, it wasn't quite the way I wanted to come out, but the ones that should have passed, the ones about education and our children and stuff, that was okay. You know, we did pretty good. It's just that the measures in Oakland, we had some problems, but mainly I'm concerned about the grocery taxes. We're going to have to be paying other taxes also, people. You know that whenever there are some tax laws, it breaks down to the people, the consumers, if you're consuming something. It always breaks down that way. And that's what's going to happen. Now, I don't know how they're going to deal with the grocery taxes, sodas and everything, associated with people that are that receive what they the food stamps, what do they call them now, SNAP or something. They said that they wouldn't be charged on their food stamps portion of that card, because you know they have a card now that they use, like a debit card. But what happens is we have a lot of people that the food stamp part that they get is not enough, so they have to also spend cash money on food items. And I don't think they're gonna charge them the soda taxes. They're gonna charge them the soda taxes. So I don't think there's gonna be enough people. If it's a grocery tax, there's not going to be enough people on welfare to get very much out of the money, cash money that they spend, because they're going to be paying at least 9.5 cents, look like, for your taxes. I mean, that's high, and it pretty soon it's going to be 10. And that's going to even be worse. So I strongly suggest that you get your receipts. I ran into another store, and I'll be talking about this later. I'm going to let some of this digest that's been going on. But I'm going to be talking about the receipts. I ran into another store that breaks it down. It says groceries and then, you know, produce and whatever they have there. So I'm thinking that a lot of the stores are going to change their cash registers, especially the big stores. Now, stores that are reporting less than $150,000 a year are exempt from a lot of things. But the problem is there's no way I'm going to believe that a store that's selling beer, hard alcohol, and cigarette products, tobacco products, is not making over $150,000 a year. No way. They are. And the cold part about it is they're not paying the city of Oakland taxes on that amount. So they will have to be observed. I plan on what doing is once I complete all of this research, I'm going to give the city council people the names and addresses of the stores that need to be under investigation because they're not paying city taxes. That's in violation of the law. Now, man-made laws, okay, it's in violation of man-made laws. God's laws are kind of tricky when it comes to that. One of the things I do know is if in your mind and in your heart you believe you're supposed to be paying taxes or what have you, and you think you're getting away with something, God is going to consider that in violation of the law because you yourself in your heart and your mind said that you were guilty. You have to keep in mind, Father God and our Lord Jesus Christ knows your mind and your heart. I started off the radio programming with love, okay? And that's what we're going to have to continue to push is love. Jesus Christ told you that. But a lot of people don't understand what agape love means. Look at just those Ten Commandments, the basic commandments. Don't break any of them, especially those that are pertaining to your neighbors, your foreigners, strangers, family for certain. God have laws pertaining to that. Now, I don't know how Trump is going to handle the people here that are from foreign countries. We'll have to see if he's going to violate God's laws pertaining to strangers and foreigners. I'm pretty sure he's going to do what man-made laws tell him to do. And we'll just have to give him a chance, people. Give him a chance. He should be able to come up with something that makes sense to us within 2 years of his first term, some kind of information he's going to be giving us and saying he's doing that and he's put this in motion. If it doesn't appear that during this first term he's going to be doing anything that's going to help this country, then we could go on and exercise our right of a recall. We could recall a president, okay? And if he do get that bad, he could be impeached. You know, we've had some of that happening before, too. But I don't think, I can't see Trump doing anything to be impeached. I don't think so. He may do some stuff that folks going to be angry all over the world just like they are now and want him out. But I don't see that. He's a businessman. That's another reason why I say give him a chance. See, it don't make sense for this country to owe billions of dollars to other countries or other countries owing us billions of dollars. It just don't make sense. The way that we're doing business is something wrong with it. So maybe he's the right person to come in and straighten out stuff. You know, and I don't know. I say let's give him a chance. I heard his acceptance speech, I guess that's what they call it. He was somewhat humble. Let's make him live up to those words he spoke and give him some more work to do. We can't just sit back and don't say anything while he and his cabinet people are doing whatever they want to do. We have to speak out. We have to make sure that the people that's going to be giving him information are getting the information to give him. Because the president is relying on the people around him to come back with information. They're out there doing research, finding out information on what's going on in the country, and to help him fix this country, because we're going to hell in a handbasket. And maybe he's the right person. Now, it does appear, based on his own words, that he has a problem with people of color. Maybe so. But we can still keep him in check to make sure he do what he's supposed to do. People of color. If you notice, the people that are protesting, we have a rainbow of people. Some of everybody. Because it's a combination of Black Lives Matter and All People Matter. And this is happening all over the country. Now, I'm going to read a song to you. I've read it to you before. And I had No One Won $100 on the television for this song. This came out back in the 70s, I believe around 75. They weren't able to tell me the name of the artist because he's not a well-known artist. But he had two songs that were very important. I'm going to read one of them for certain, and I may have time for the other. But anyway, the person's name was Paul Lawrence. You can find him on the internet, Paul Lawrence, and I can't remember the name of the album, but it's the album that he put out, Racism Sucks. And I'm going to read that for you. And what you could do is go on the internet, and I think you're able to hear it as well on the internet. And this is what it says. Boy, he's a credit to his race, led by the white man. He's too cool to be a white boy, led by the black man. Rating machines dictate TV. Where do you find them? They criticize the man who sold out to the white man. Then it goes into the chorus. Let me tell you, racism sucks. It's time that we all give it up. I tell you that racism sucks. If you can't give love, shut up, please. Somebody told her she was minority. She didn't like it. Who in the hell make the majority? She didn't understand it. You got a right to what you believe. God bless America. I'm here to tell you God ain't pleased. We can't live together. And then it goes on and says, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can lead a horse to the well, but you can't make him drink. It's time for the young of the world to fix all the cracks and crevices in society. And then it goes back to racism sucks. It's time that we all give it up. You can't give love. Shut up. That was Paul Lawrence. I wanted to read that to you again. And I'll give the answers. This is going to be recorded on television as well for the people, because I had a $100 prize for who can come back and give me the name of the artist. No one got it because it's way back in 1975, and it wasn't one of the favorite songs. They only played it a few times on the radio. I went back to Tower Record to buy another album. It's on vinyl. And Tower Record had removed them off the shelf. They couldn't tell me why. But I think it had to do with both the Racism Sucks song and the Freebasing song. Now, I'll give that to you, the words to that, later on. But basically what it says is that Freebasing really destroyed here. And, here it is here. I'll read it real quick. She used to be a perfect mother. He used to be a perfect father. They had a house set on a hill, white picket fence. They used to be the perfect couple. They started going to places they once only dreamed, spending their money to please every Tom, Dick, and Harry. They were enticed by what they thought was the good life. They had to take it one step higher. Now, I'll do the chorus. So they stepped into the scene of the ultimate high dream, and it left a fancy road. Why? It left a fancy road. Why did they do it? And then it goes and say, strung out, left in doubt, freebasing, night of fun, look what they done. He used to be the only hope for his family. Made all the grades, a jock first string Ivy League. They offered him life in their world, where lives and hearts are left in the sand on a desert dry land. The pressure took him right to the edge of his sanity. He couldn't ignore the nosy eyes on his family. It can happen to you. Don't you get strung out, left in doubt, freebasing. Peer pressure is a mother. Then they go back into the chorus. Now, these two songs caused that whole vinyl album to be taken off the shelf. They then brought it back with Freebasing on a small vinyl to be played in the jukeboxes. Racism Sucked wasn't. And I don't know, that song had an opposite effect, I believe, on what was really intended. It caused people to want a freebase or something. I don't know. All I know is we not showing love, and God ain't pleased about it, okay? And you're going to have to remember that Satan, the devil, Lucifer, is the god of this earth. And he intends on you doing his work. And hate, racism, if you want to call it racism, because there's only one race, the human race. That's all about hate, not love. So when you are in that state of mind, it doesn't matter who you are or whether you feel you have a right to hate someone or be racist, as it's called. You don't. Two wrongs don't make a right. Just because Donald Trump seemed to don't care about people of color, the Bible tells that we're still supposed to love him. That means we're not supposed to break any of God's laws to hurt him. Doing a recount is not hurting him. That's what man-made law said, and it's to make things right. God wouldn't have a problem with that. Especially, I know God knows Trump's heart and mind. Time for me to close. Knowing is not enough. We're going to have to apply. Willing is not enough. We're going to have to do something. Simple. Until we meet again, I love you.